Hello, everyone. Welcome to Word with Dr. Michael David Clay. Now, I used to be a race fan. Used to be. I don't know that I'm so much a race fan today, not because I don't like races, not because I've somehow changed my opinion about competition. Not necessarily that. I don't enjoy sitting down for long periods of time, justifiably so, and watching cars go around the track, automobile racing, or through the course, or whatever it might be. Rather, the problem with racing today seems like there's no win. It seems like for the sake of parity, everyone being so equal that it's always competitive, there doesn't seem to be as much gratification from watching then the race. I like to identify the win. I like to then identify the winner. Now you could say, that's a poor attitude though, because anytime there's a winner, there's a loser. And that may be true, but isn't that part of losing? There's great motive in not only doing better, hopefully, it doesn't always turn out that way, doing better, but the validation that you tried, that you have invested yourself to take a thought, an idea, a notion, which most things in life begin with at least some contemplation. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you look at it reactively and there's some things that are just automatically triggered, but I don't really count those as wins. They are. Survival of the fittest, the strongest, the smartest, the most talented, all of that. But my business, of course, I'm going to be inclined to analyze it and do the psychology thing that I do. And therein, it starts with a thought. Contemplation. And then you can think about what you want to do. There could be some strategy in it. There could be some practice that goes into it, at least mentally so. You can conceive of it. This is what it's going to take to get this done. But somewhere along the line, you have to put yourself on the line. What? Not only self, but cred. Your ego. Winning and losing validation. But that is an important concept. Because if you think it through, even if you, we used to call that pontification, if you think it through, analysis, paralysis of analysis, you think it through, but you think it through too much, even to the extent of never doing it, you're not going to get any validation out of that. Oh, I could have been. It would have worked. Don't you think it would have worked? Well, then why didn't you do it? And there's, again, a number of good reasons why it might not have worked. And there's good reasons why you might not have been the one. And certainly you've got to take all of that into consideration as well. But in the end, you have to put yourself in a position of winning and losing. And though I began the podcast today talking about races, parity, liking it when there are winners and losers, defining the win, what it is to win, at the same time, though, I think it translates well to psychology and psychological counseling, because that really is, I believe, the thing, in my opinion, over all of these years of doing what I do. It is self-esteem, but it's self-esteem that comes from actually putting your cred on the line. Some level of validation. Not just a thought, but with actions, and then expecting you may not win, and knowing how to take the loss and not let that allow that to define you as a loser or to somehow hold you back, discourage, impede. You're trying again. Psychology Today, January, February of 2024. What every struggling young adult needs to hear. Someone needs to believe in your troubled adult child. Why not you? By Jeffrey Bernstein, PhD. Mary, a new parent coaching client of mine, told me, "I don't know what to do anymore to help our 26-year-old son, Tim. He flunked out of college, out of two colleges, and each time lied, claiming he was passing his courses. It is as if he tells us what we want to hear, and then when we try to get the truth, he gets angry at us." I responded, "Would you be willing to tell Tim these four words? I believe in you." But Tim lies to us. He's ruined all trust we had in him. I told Mary, "I get that you are frustrated with Tim's choices and behaviors. I feel for you because I know that seeing him struggle is upsetting and draining. I also recall that you shared that Tim has a younger sister who is thriving in college and an older brother who is doing great at his job out of college." "When you say it like that," Mary replies, "I feel myself shift. It's as if I lose my anger and realize what Tim feels he is up against." I told her, "I empathize with your frustrations with Tim. Yet isn't it, quite likely what he feels, likely that he feels pretty lousy about himself. What is the downside to gently reminding him that he has value and can do valuable things to help himself? I get to see and hear the most pressing struggles that create obstacles to the success of adult children today. They include having a limited ability to self-advocate. While technology provides a vast, instant ability to explore and find answers to, boundless stores of information via digital devices, many young adults are not able to seek out help for themselves that truly count when they need it. This may include approaching versus avoiding challenging academic material and seeking collaborative academic support where warranted. Having confidence in their ability to get and hold a job or to be able to accept that give or the give and take that goes along with working with others. Their underlying self-esteem deficits get in the way of flourishing in the world of work. Initiating problem-solving reparative conversations when struggling at college or work and when facing friction in relationships with peers or partners. Gaining the two crucial skills, perhaps the two most important in life, of learning to calm themselves down and of problem solving to navigate inevitable challenges that come their way. Growing up in a world that is digitally close together yet emotionally far apart. As Sherry Turkle, a leading expert on the digital technology-psychology interface, states, "We think constant connections will make us feel less lonely. The opposite is true. Tragically, I often see teens and young adults in my office who struggle with feeling as comfortable in the real world as in the digital one. The fleeting sense of comfort found in video games and social media provides a false security about true connection. Being unable to reflect on personal victories. A core finding of positive psychology is the need to take inventory of and feel empowered by personal strengths. I see many bright and talented young adults who are not able to empower themselves by reflecting on their past successes. The importance of validation. Like everyone else, struggling adult children need to feel validated. Being validated promotes their emotional well-being and helps them feel heard and understood. Acknowledging their experiences grappling with challenges can reduce their feelings of isolation and frustration. Parent validation helps adult children in multiple ways. It enhances self-esteem and improves communication, trust, and resilience. Tina has an adult daughter, Jody, 31. After Jody's long, winding road of substance abuse and chaotic relationship partners, Tina was highly skeptical that she could make it in the real world. Tina said that learning to validate her helped raise Jody's self-esteem and self-worth. Tina elaborated, "When I let Jody know that I appreciate her efforts to stay clean, I see it boosts her self-image. It was gratifying for me to hear a few months later from Tina that after staying clean and pursuing her interests in animals, Jody felt successful in her job as a tech at a veterinary clinic." Scott, the father of 33-year-old Elijah, experienced firsthand how validation promotes open and effective communication. After focusing on validating Elijah's fears and anxieties instead of reflexively trying to fix him, Scott experienced more productive discussions about problems and, eventually, potential ways for his son to make some progress. Elijah finished a software engineering boot camp and just got hired by a startup company. Validation can motivate struggling adult children to take action to address their issues. The positive reinforcement solidifies their belief in their abilities and the significance of their contributions, leading to increased self-esteem and a desire to excel. Validation catalyzes continued hard work and dedication, as individuals are more likely to invest time and energy in endeavors in which their efforts are acknowledged and validated, ultimately driving them to achieve even greater success. Invalidating experiences, on the other hand, such as when parents are dismissive or critical, can exacerbate emotional distress in struggling adult children. Validation instead helps reduce their distress by providing emotional support and understanding their struggles, leaving them feeling less alone. Validation respects the autonomy and independence of adult children. It allows them to express their feelings and make choices about their lives while still feeling connected to their parents. Psychology Today, January, February 2024. What every struggling young adult needs to hear. Someone needs to believe in your troubled adult child. Why Not You? By Jeffrey Bernstein, PhD. Tell your child, your kids, even if they're adults, you believe in them. Tell them that you think they can do it. Praise them when they've done it. Positives, encouragement. Positivity, encouragement, all of those things can be validating, and all of those things should be done. I do not disagree at all with that premise. And I think sometimes as parents, we're so preoccupied with the when that we forget to do that in right measure along the way. Not that we should ever become so critical or so negativistic, positivity versus negativism, that we aren't encouraging and rather fall into the trap of being so critical, even if it's for instrumentally so, we would call it out as teaching, instruction, telling someone how to do it. Because really, winning is, as I tried to capture earlier, a matter of contemplation and thought and logistics. winning isn't always a reactive, however, phenomenon. It is, if it's fight or flight, it is, if it just takes, maybe in the most basic of ways, survival. But when it comes to the psychology of things, and we're going to say physiological survival, which is important to all psychology, because if the body doesn't survive, then you're really not going to have much to worry about or to think about or to consider. It's over at that point. But beyond that, accepting that, then contemplation, higher cortical functions, rationality, reasoning, empiricism, hypothetical reasoning, logic, science, all of those things that go with thinking, logistics, contemplation, conceptualization, conceiving, putting together a strategy and plan, all of that head work is important, and that validation by the parent, hopefully the parent's not going to therein tell the adult child, that they're going to win at something really there's no chance at. I do believe on wishing upon stars, and I do believe in believing in yourself, and I do believe that you can be too self-critical, but who do you get that from? Probably, again, that primary socialization model or those agents who would then be your mom, your dad, your immediate nuclear family, siblings included, birth order considered. All of those things are important. But the most important thing is to define the when. And sometimes even in a parent's passion to confer whatever is necessary to the ultimate end of success is absent not only their definition of success. We want you to be successful. What does that mean? You have to define the when. But you have to tell them it's okay to lose and then say, but that doesn't mean that the only way to make it okay to lose is to quit. You can't quit. And that would even presuppose that you've got identified as part of that win, or at least the process to getting to the win. You've got to do something. And it can't just be virtual. It has to be real life. And you can say, well, what's the difference? I think we all know there is a difference. That's what the article is speaking to. Because there's a lot of struggling young adults that have grown up in virtual context, maybe too much so, and have not really gone out in the real world, which is competitive. I don't know that we have to live by survival of the fittest. Beyond simply survival. I'm not sure that even that is the most adaptive, especially for adults. You can make some choices even in that, whether it is the moment or the time to put your life ahead of others. I still believe in altruism. I still believe in unconditional regard to the extent that someone might just choose altruistically to let you live, and they would then die. I don't think that's suicide. I don't think that's always out of a motive of depression. There can be a higher ordered. Yes, it is cognitive. Yes, it's in your head, it's thoughts. But it still requires action. Because if it doesn't have action attached to it, there's no validation in that. But again, beyond that basic presupposition of survival, and all the reasons to do that, and then taking into account there are even quality factors, not just quantity, not just life and death, but quality factors that go into the choice to live or die. Purpose, reasons, aspirations, virtue, ethics, all of that. But in the end, once you've made the decision whether this is going to be, as they used to say, the hill that you will choose to die on, the notion of it is that you still have to put it into some action. And with that, I hope parents would not encourage anyone, their children especially, to do things that they know are going to end fatalistically so in a failure, a lack of success. Even if you should say, well, yeah, we'll teach them the good lesson. If you're going to do that, of how to keep trying, not quit, once you take the first step of attempt, not to give up totally on the project simply because you've ran into an obstacle or snare that therein would then be defined other than win as a loss or with that some element of failure. But even then, losses are not equivalent to failures. And success can be measured in increments. It doesn't have to be an all or none sort of proposition. You don't have to be the best or you're not going to be the worst at any particular thing. But maybe you could say, well, as a parent, I'm going to teach someone how to do this. Still, you have to validate and encourage along the way. And that's where defining the win has the utility of continuing in an objective to meet the ultimate goal sort of fashion. These are the steps. These are the objectives to reach the goal. Set realistic objectives, set realistic goals, pace yourself, and encourage yourself. Practice positivity as a parent, even along the way. But beyond the parent's role in all of this, as the article would be, I believe, inclined to, has an angle directed toward, somewhere along the way, teaching whoever it is that you're positive with, if it's a child, genuinely so, as youth, young, or adult, child, they have to learn to do this for themselves. Because if validation, as I'm saying, in trying to define the win, which I do not only for the sake of today's podcast, but in psychology terms, it has to do with self-esteem. But self-esteem is just the way you look at yourself. Self-esteem is part the way those significant others that had a say about who you are, identity-wise, as well as worth and value, your parents, again, that primary support system, as they did that through those really, truly formative years of childhood, real and true, that you're really genuinely a child, they make a lasting impression in terms of self and identity, because now it's your adult identity, your personality. Somewhere you have to start doing this as an adult child or as the person who maybe did not get the best of that validation and learn to validate yourself. Because self-esteem is how you look at yourself, but there is no reality attached to that until you go out and do it. Validation is the win, but to do it requires not only a lot of thinking, but it takes a moment of action. And then it takes correction that does not have to be geared toward, directed toward, aimed at so much criticism that it would then breed just the opposite, paradoxically, which is doubt. Being overly critical. That's where poor self-esteem comes in. Overly critical is a feature of poor self-esteem. It contributes to poor self-esteem and self-image. Learning how to lose is as important as winning. But you can't say, oh, we'll be satisfied with losing, unless you would just say, well, that'll be the end of it. No. Winning in life is quantitative. It can be survival. Life and death, survival of the fittest. Reactively so. But most people are programmed with that. And size matters. Brain matters. Intelligence. Brain power matters. Reflexive sort of measures matter. Aptitudes in a physical sort of way matter. All of that matters, But it does not matter when it's not about that, or if you've chosen that that is not going to be the defining win, simply survival. It's now quality of life, because we're beyond simply survival. And fortunately, most of us, and we were never designed, I do not believe, to live in a constant state of survival, or survival of the fittest, reactively having to worry about survival. It doesn't work. It wears your body out, wears you out, wears your body out. There's a lot of negatives that go along with that. Fortunately, most of us, ratio-wise, the body was designed ratio-wise to live more in a qualitative sort of context. But you still have to say winning is something. And what is that? It's being the best. Whatever you define the win to be. I'm just saying validation is the win. It's a win for everybody. You might measure that, again, in different sort of ways or terms or conditions, and you just have to articulate those as well. Parents should do that as their child is a child or as their child becomes an adult child. We need to do that, teach them how to do that, but we need to continue doing that for ourselves, and then in that example and model, as with teaching instrumentally, them how to do that. But in the end, all that you're going to know is, did your life matter or not matter? You might say, well, that's vanity, because in the end, it all ends. No, there is as much to say about quality than quantity. And what we think at the end of our life may be more important, because that'll be the last thing that probably goes. There is some evidence that post-bodily death, I don't think it's very long, thoughts continue. Hospice studies indicate that, palliative care studies indicate that, at the moment of death, the body ceases, the heart stops, blood stops flowing. For all intent and purpose, the person is declared deceased. But brain activity continues. Maybe that is the last thing that we experience in all of the vanity that is our humanity. But make it a good one. And if you're going to go out, and you should not believe in anything beyond this life, this existence, why not go out winning? Love yourself, love the people around you, and know that you've lived a good life. No one lives forever in physical dimension. But at the same time, though, at least for the sake of who you are at that moment, all the things that make you in personality, psychology sort of terms, consciousness, conscience even sort of terms, those aren't affected by the physical declines. I think they say you're only as old as you feel, or the other side is you're as young as you feel. Why not continue to be you right up to the very end? That would seem quantitatively best as well as qualitatively. You're not going to get in the way of any possibility of living longer, certainly, by doing that. And if anything, you might enhance it. And if you got some problem that might take you out sooner than later, we all know remaining positive, validating, having meaning and purpose keeps a lot of people alive. Post all sorts of conditions that should have killed them. That's the message of psychological counseling, I believe. And to the extent or degree, if you find yourself at times struggling to get that or to understand that win, or you just think that possibly because we do it the way we do it professionally, and we've been trained the way we've been trained, we can do it maybe a little bit cleaner than the people around you, or maybe there just isn't the identifiable resources immediately available, seek out help. Psychology Today, again, has a directory of vetted providers. Go to their website. look somebody up who is geographically close to you. If you want to do virtual, that's okay too. But there's a list of their credentials and their specializations, and you can find a really good match there and make a good choice. And then set up an appointment and go see them. If you want to reach out to me, you can. drmdclay@thewordhouse.com. Thewordhouse.com. You can find us at Covenants at Facebook and online at Wordhouse. You can call us 304-523-9673, 304-523-WORD. And you certainly can catch us for our next podcast. We drop it weekly, and certainly on this side of it, I enjoy doing this. I hope it's beneficial and it's enjoyable to you, and should it be, then we look forward to meeting again next week. Until we get that chance, though, I want to wish you the best of not only good mental health, but good health in general. And I want to say sincerely, thanks.